Welcome back to Poeia, the podcast, and today we have an amazing special episode, episode 127, Halo Matters, live. This past weekend, we got the chance to head on down to San Antonio to PAX South 2020, where we got the chance to record our live episode in the Latinx Lounge, thanks to the Latinos in Gaming group. So the audio picks up a little after we started, and that's just because I had some issues getting it up, and the first question, like we always do for every episode to start our topic, is what was your favorite Halo memory? Now, let's pick up where Matt's starting.
Probably when I first got Halo, because it kind of was the representation of a new console. So basically, one Christmas, my parents got my brother and I a new console called an Xbox. And we're like, what is that? And it came with Halo. And then basically, we spent all that winter playing together and bonded a lot over that. And it led to a lot of, I guess, childhood memories at this point.
Yeah. Oh no, I feel old.
You feel old.
What about you, Kate?
Yeah, so me, actually, I came to Halo at Halo 3 because I also have a little brother. He's 9 years younger than I. And when I first got an Xbox, I had been GameCube and PlayStation right before then, and then we finally got one. And I was like, oh, I want to play Tao Fang Enter the Lotus because I like fighters. Brother was like, ooh, Mom, what's this Halo game? And I was like, okay, let's play. And I came into Halo, and I remember getting, it might not have been that first one. I think it was when they did Combat Evolved, the re-release of the original. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
My favorite memory is getting the vehicle, the Warthog, stuck in something and trying to use the grenades to get it unstuck because we couldn't get it stuck. And it was a constant occurrence. Like, it was not just like, oh, I accidentally did this thing. It was like, I accidentally did this thing 10 times because I don't know how I am supposed to drive. And I was always the driver, which was a terrible idea, which nobody ever learned from.
Yeah.
She's not learned how to drive since.
I haven't, but I just press A, so I automatically get in the seat. I like being in control, guys.
And then for me, mine is just very quick. I got into Halo in Halo 1, and I used to play the co-op with my dad. So me and my dad played Halo 1 and Halo 2, basically through the campaign. I played the multiplayer. My dad didn't really play the multiplayer, but like kind of doing those memories with my dad, you know, getting through all the levels, trying to beat it as hard and fully as we can. You know, him as Master Chief, because it's like, he's my dad, right? And then me as the Arbiter in Halo 2 was really great. And we'll talk more about the experiences of, like, multiplayer and, like, why that's such a big deal for Halo when we start getting into our about why those. But we usually start off with some quick production history. And just for the interest of time, we'll just kind of do the quick production history.
Before we get into the production history, I do want to say, full disclosure, this is a franchise that's been around since 2001. It's 2020. We have 58 minutes, so we're not going to be able to cover everything. So if we forget something, we're sorry.
But we went through a whole bunch of things, and we had to like, all right, what's most important? But hit us back up in, you know, when Halo Infinite rolls back around, we had our revisit, and I promise we'll get into whether or not, you know, Master Chief is a daddy or not, or
I will be leading that conversation.
Yeah, definitely. A little bit later on. But for our production history, in case you're not aware, because I in the 90s, Bungie was coming off a successful run of a real-time strategy, a real-time tactics game called Myth on Mac, and the sci-fi first-person shooter Marathon for Mac and PC. And they basically wanted to take the Myth mechanics of kind of the RTS world and bring it to their sci-fi shooter kind of genre for Marathon. And really, the early versions of the games that were codenamed Monkey Nuts and later Lamb were basically just on Myth engines, but like sci-fi. And one of the biggest things for the Myth engine was the 3D maps and being able to kind of change the maps and things like that. So not necessarily the StarCraft level RTS mechanics, but just a little bit different. And the big shift from RTS to this, you know, first-person shooter that we have now really started when they started to look at controlling vehicles and really putting you in a third person. Instead of just like clicking, highlighting, and clicking over here to make your vehicle move, they gave you like a third-person view of the now Warthog as they would go through, and they just kind of went closer and closer and closer, and really realizing that that experience of controlling the Warthog, controlling your units that close up, was really great. And then they decided to turn it into a third-person shooter in kind of like the that kind of intermediate transition. And with that shift, we start to get a lot of buzz, especially after E3 in 1999.
What year?
1999.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And this is basically at E3 1999, and Bungie makes people sign really, really strict non-disclosure agreements. And essentially, all these journalists are saying, my favorite game I played at E3 is one that I can't even play yet. And it really creates this giant buzz. And the buzz gets so big that it even gets the attention of Steve Jobs at Mac. And at the time, he's trying to kind of really build the game division of Mac. Spoiler alert, it never happens. But he's looking at Halo to kind of be that big intermediary to kind of like jump into that market. And basically they say, hey, we really like it. They sat down with Steve Jobs, he liked the game, and they said, hey, give us something at Macworld. So basically they had to kind of change this very quick idea that they had of a not first-person shooter to a first-person, to a third-person shooter, and say, hey, world, here it is. So they basically had a couple of days or a couple of months to do it. And the funniest part about this is that they essentially come up with all of our favorite things about the game, like right before it happens. So 3 to 4 days before Macworld, the theme song that we all love. I almost started humming it.
Oh, you want to hum it?
Hum it. If you've listened to the show before, you know that Adrian hums songs, yeah, and I then try to put them into
exactly.
The opening.
Yeah.
Please hum.
I almost went full operatic. You know, my baritone voice is about to come out. It's going to be really, really good. So three days before it, you know, Martin O'Donnell puts together this great score and gives us one of the best theme songs of all time. They also had to, 3 days before, come up with a name, and they came up with just like really, really terrible names before they came to Halo. And if we get time at the end, we can kind of tell you something.
So I want one of them at least, because we know that the Fast and the Furious names in Japan are the best things in existence.
This is true.
I need to know at least one of those names.
The Santa Machine.
Oh dear.
The Crystal Palace.
That would have sold.
The what?
The Crystal Palace.
That's not that bad.
White Castle.
I mean, that's close.
Star Maker. None of those hit as hard as Halo. So
no, I don't know why. Yeah. It's that...
They could have.
I mean, they could have stayed with Monkey Nuts. I think that Monkey Nuts would have been good. But, you know, here we are. So they basically put all this together in a couple of days, and it's a huge hit. Everyone's hyped. Everybody's ready for it. However, because of some financial situations with their Myth game, essentially what happens is they ship Myth 2. There is a bug that like wipes your computer, and they have to recall 1,000 copies of the game, which cost Bungie like almost $1 million, and they're just in financial straits. But to the rescue comes in Microsoft.
Dun, dun, dun.
This is Y2K, wasn't it?
Actually, Microsoft acquires Bungie 2000, and then they get the rights to Halo. So
yeah, it was Y2K.
Thank you, Y2K, for Halo.
Yeah. So you know, instead of going to Mac, it goes to Microsoft, and if you played games in the early 2000s, you know that Microsoft is trying to get off the ground Xbox and basically makes Halo Combat Evolved its, you know, primary starter, and which carries them through much of the early 2000s and basically becomes their, you know, golden child, which we'll talk about in our But Why Those. But basically, 2001, Halo Combat Evolved releases on Xbox, and later on, PC and Mac in 2003. So we do get a Mac port eventually, but it's really kind of all Mac gets. But essentially we go from this RTS inspired game to a third person shooter, and then down to a first person shooter in a very, very like brief kind of description of that. And basically from 1997 to 2001, this Bungie comes together and gives us all this really, really great game. I think my favorite part about this is that Mark O'Donnell put together that opera, that symphony, with 3 days' notice, and it is one of the best theme songs ever.
I will say, like, the Halo original soundtrack is one of the best gaming soundtracks, and I say that as somebody who like uses music and like honestly like gaming stuff to like just kind of calm down sometimes. And that soundtrack is beautiful. And I mean, obviously there are others, and I know. But Halo hits in a special place, and I don't know if it's just because like my age, where we played, or just kind of how it's defined stuff, but it's great.
It So basically, just kind of overarchingly, what we get from that first game is we get a bunch of games that total over $5 billion in sales. We have Halo Combat Evolved, Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo Wars, Halo 3 ODST, Halo Reach.
Halo Wars? I don't count Halo Wars.
I mean, Halopedia does, so we do.
Okay.
Halo Reach, Halo 4, Halo Spartan Assault, Halo the Master Chief Collection, Halo Spartan Strike, Halo 5 Guardians, which you can count if you'd like, Halo 2 Wars, Halo Fireteam Brevin, which is an arcade game, which if you haven't played it, you should go play. It's probably at your David Buster.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's pretty good. And then you have Halo Infinite coming out sometime this year in 2020.
We'll see what happens. So what's your favorite then?
Halo 1, I think, for me, is my favorite.
What do you got, Katie?
I'm going to be basic and just say the re-release of the Master Chief Collection because that's where I spent most of my time. But Halo 3, ultimately, because of the multiplayer pieces, and I do know that I spent way too much time in those Halo 3 lobbies than I should have at the time. I should have dedicated to other things. I did not. I did blow off a couple of dates for Halo 3 lobbies. Hey, that much I do know.
That's a good decision. That's a good decision.
Always fair decision.
Yeah, I think it's Halo 1 for me just because Halo's 2 campaign isn't as good, and like I have memories of like the campaign with my dad. But from there we get, you know, there's if you're also not aware, there's 28 novels that have been produced since 2001, and then ones that were produced in 2019. Lots of comic releases as well that have run from 2000, primarily with Marvel Comics, but now they're running with Dark Horse Comics. There's lots of live action stuff as well, lots of announced and lots of canceled projects, lots of fan films, but kind of like the big ones, this is 2012, we had Halo 4 Fallen Forward onto Dawn, 2014, Halo Nightfall, and we have a upcoming Showtime television series coming up in 2021 that has a couple of the main cast currently, but
Can I say my favorite one?
Yes.
Pablo Shriver as Master Chief. I'm very happy. He's a very large man.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a great Master Chief.
Yeah. I actually saw a Master Chief walking around here earlier who looked fantastic. And if it's anything like that, I'll take it all day.
There's a lot of them, I believe, in this convention. I feel like they're based out of Austin, the Master Chief.
I saw a group of, like, 5 Spartans. They come around together.
Every Texas convention we go to, they seem to be around. I don't know if they're the same people, but there's always a group of them.
So you know how Star Wars has the 501st Legion? Is there an equivalent of, like, Halo cosplayers?
I would assume so.
I see some hands.
Get with me after this so you can tell me who they are.
Yes, there we go. You look amazing, by the way.
I just have to say.
We also have anime. You know, 2010 had Halo Legends, basically 7 short films, and 2015 we had Halo the Fall of the Reach, and then as an animated series. My favorite thing when we do these notes is to look to see if there's a musical, because one thing about this, like, I would love to see a Master Chief musical. But sadly, there is not one.
I'm actually disappointed there's not.
Yeah.
We found more surprising that there are. But none of them are very good.
Yeah, if you want nightmare fuel, go watch the Teenage Mutant Turtles musical.
Hold on, is that better than Shrek?
The Shrek musical isn't that bad. You can watch it on Netflix, it's not that bad.
Those costumes in the TMNT one is just terrifying. But now I want a Halo musical. But I am very, very sad I have not seen the Halo anime.
Imagine Master Chief singing. About by himself.
Gosh, that would make him a daddy. Just saying.
Halo deserves a musical, but why though?
Doesn't.
Yes, everything deserves a musical, Matt.
Well, we get a musical for almost everything.
Because we deserve it.
I don't know if we deserve it.
So speaking on kind of our but why those are kind of like the big pieces of Halo and why they matter so much and kind of why you all are here today and why we decided to do this panel. Again, we don't have time for everything, so I'm trying to hit like the biggest points. And when it comes to Halo's, one of Halo's biggest influences, it definitely comes down to the mechanics. And that has a variety of different things, but the first thing is definitely the FPS controls. You look, GoldenEye walked so Halo could run. While GoldenEye, you all played it, I know you did, had revolutionary FPS controls for a console, Halo really nailed it. And I don't know the last time you played played GoldenEye, but the tracking in that game is garbage. Whereas Halo hits it a little bit better. This, of course, is really mainly due to the twin stick controls, which isn't the first to do it, but with the soft trigger or the soft target lock and the soft aim assist, it really gave you a better sense of control when you're trying to track enemies, opposed to kind of like that hard target lock that you get in other games. It doesn't really make you feel like you're actually the one shooting that guy in the face.
This is definitely the first game I've ever known to use the dual controls. I mean, like you said, GoldenEye we may have had it in some other game, but this is the one that really solidified it. I know my biggest memory from this is when my brother played. When you first walk out of playing Halo, apparently you press up or down to determine whether you are inverted or not inverted. Apparently we missed that reading. And so my brother played inverted for about 3-4 years before anybody ever noticed, until I like picked up his controller and I was like, how do you play like this? He's like, I've always played like this. Isn't that how everybody plays? He's like, no. And we came to realize, after some deductive reasoning, we came back and realized that he apparently pressed the wrong way on the joystick and forever sealed his fate of being an inverted player.
I will say, I remember why I didn't play much of the early Halos, and it's because that Xbox controller is ridiculously large, and I have very small hands.
So you had to grab it, and you had to twist your hand like this, and put it like around with the B, because, I mean, if you played any sports games, you had to get to the Y, some of the controllers.
I played Fighters. I just used it like a joypad. That's all I did.
I forgot they were that big, because they made them smaller.
They were thin. No, look at my hands, sir. They're not large.
We held an N64 controller. They just had a random like thing hanging out in the middle.
I mean, I was player two, so I was playing on like the shitty Mad Cat controller.
But
Dad.
The controller.
Adrian, they obviously did not care about you.
Adrian, I don't want to break it to you. Was your controller plugged in?
I hope so. Imagine if it wasn't. Like some of my most basic memories of my father are playing Halo, and like if they're not even real.
I mean, so are my brothers. So.
I feel like anybody with a sibling did that at one time.
So further from there, I mean, with the exception of Matt's brother, this thing, Halo really kind of solidifies our kind of default mapping for a very long time when it comes to games. So, your left trigger is what, Matt? Without even looking at the thing, what's your left trigger do?
Now or before?
Before.
You said this to me last time. I gave you a different grenade.
Yeah, it's grenade, right? And then that stuff is kind of solidified with Microsoft. And this is a very purposeful thing Microsoft does. They basically shared Halo's technology and designs in hopes that it would become the standard, and to also help other platforms and developers come to Xbox by giving out their thing. So they're basically doing like the Tesla stuff before Tesla does the Tesla stuff.
And for those of you wondering, I said it hangs down the scope.
Yeah, but
then they added more.
I will say though, with this controller piece, one of the cool things that makes it like important, or I guess pertinent to 2019, 2020, is that like Xbox actually shared its designs for the accessibility controller that they launched.
Yes.
So like Xbox has always done this thing, which is really interesting and also really cool when you think about how controllers, like a standardized controller, would help so many people in a whole bunch of different ways. Which, like, I mean, I play majority Xbox, but it does suck when I have to go do demos. And it's like, oh, this is a Switch controller. These keys are not the same. Or these buttons are not the same.
I mean, obviously, we know they do PC stuff, but it's still the fact that the Xbox controller is almost your standard PC controller.
Yeah. That's also true, yeah.
It's almost like Microsoft runs Windows.
No way.
From there, one of the other bigger things, too, is kind of our shield and health regens that we kind of see in almost any shooter you play.
The things I rely on?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Kane's a tank in a lot of our games, which is good and bad sometimes. So most FPS games and other games at this time write health packs. When was the last time you picked up a health pack in an FPS game? I have no idea. But Halo really took a different approach to this and made the combat set around your ability to kind of balance your health regen or your shield regen. Halo also like changes this a lot, right, in the variations, but they kind of keep that there. But now, like, think of what FPSs have this, Call of Duty, Battlefield, Destiny, Gears of War has it.
Oh, God of War, what the hell?
Gears of War has it, so it's definitely like a very standardized thing, and I don't know what we would do if I had to like go high for health packs.
I would literally just die. That is what would happen. I'm sorry, Dave. I let you down. No, I'm not, actually. Run and gun, get in there, Rambo style, just go.
Speaking of running and gunning, I think one of the other things I love too about Halo, especially the first couple, is basically our ability to have relatively intelligent AI in those two games, and basically kind of like nothing that I had experienced leading up to that. So you have, you know, elites seemingly can't commanding grunts while they stay back, but then they would push in when you got a little bit closer. Jackals using their plasma pistols to bring your shields down, just so everyone else could fire at you. It all felt really natural. You know, everyone remembers the library where you would, you know, they would hide around the corners and they would wait till you turned around and then they would come. And they're not even really intelligent, or even past being intelligent, it's also being dynamic. So the elites having animations that would, you know, head fake and dodge your shots, or dodge to, you know, avoid incoming grenades, have that dodgeable melee to carry momentum if you weren't being on your toes on the legendary.
They were just cheaters. I got out of this.
Yeah, basically. I mean, and this could definitely be because the movement of the player in the first Halo is pretty predictable, so it's kind of easier to kind of program the AI accordingly, but it's still satisfying to play against, especially when you consider Bungie's distinct mission to, like, put in that 30-second action loop of, you know, no 30 seconds of the game is really repeated, where the missions are kind of, like, consistently changing the context to challenge you, and the AI basically handles the decisions on that 30-second time scale, where you know, where to stand, where to shoot, and then when to kind of dive out of the way of grenades, kind of in that mode to kind of give you, you know, at least 30 seconds of like fun, and then a little bit of a break and 30 seconds of fun, instead of kind of just that hard, you know, repetitive, just waiting.
Well,
waiting
maybe
out
if
the
you
way,
think about it, it works with the shield regen.
Yeah. So right.
30
yeah.
seconds of fun, your shield's down. You wait until yeah. regens. You go back.
Yeah, and then this is also like not something I think is like super. I don't think this is something that's done very well like in games now,
yeah.
Or something like, you know, we just want more and more and more stuff. But for the longest time, like this becomes the standard in the early 2000s, especially when you're considering the different shooters that are out there. Any other things on mechanics before we move on to the co-op split screen play, which everybody remembers very fondly?
No,
right?
I mean, I think they're great. They set the standard for a lot of things.
I know they're
the first, but they're definitely the best.
I mean, I made my Xbox controller joke, and that is all I have to say about the matter.
What do I do with my hands? So moving on from there, we'll kind of talk a little bit about the co-op and multiplayer, which really kind of takes the center of Halo's real big importance, especially into now. How was the multiplayer? How was the multiplayer? The funny thing is that multiplayer almost didn't even make it into the first Halo, because they were so pressed for their release, they almost cut it out entirely, so we would never have what we have today if they didn't, you know, just stick with it and the developers didn't play 16 hours a day system linked to killing each other. We wouldn't have even gotten the multiplayer if they didn't push for it so hard. Obviously, Halo Combat Evolved, the first one, doesn't come with online multiplayer, but it did have really great co-op play as well as system link play. And if you remember, or if you don't remember, if you didn't have an original Xbox, the system,
bulletproof thing.
Yeah, the bulletproof thing. Yeah. They just did everything big, and if you throw it at you, it's probably gonna hurt. The system link allowed for four consoles to have up to 16 players. Other things had system links before this, but the Halo having the 16-player link allowed me and my friends to kind of take over my mom's house and just all play together on our like small little screens. Which is even smaller when you cut it into four, which is something that I don't really do too much anymore, but at the time it was really, really great. And again, like, as I said before, the co-op campaign really gave...
I was going to talk about system link for a second.
Oh, okay,
that, that is a big thing. Like, for me, like, obviously, I don't know if people remember, we had, like, I mean, I'm sure we have some today, but, like, they started making, like, Xbox carrying cases and all these game carrying cases for probably people like me. I literally, for a while, just carried my Xbox in a trash bag in my trunk of my car, I guess a little danger. Obviously, as a guy, got a car.
It's called being resourceful.
Yes, because everything we played, because people didn't like to play split screen for the most part, for everybody knows with screen watching, and not everybody carries around cardboard to split your screen, so we just carried around Xboxes and we system linked them together. I mean, one of my birthdays, we literally ran cords across the house, upstairs and downstairs, and used makeshift tables just so we could play on different TVs. You say, and then you rotate teams.
See,
and
this
then you
is
want to play with people.
This is where I'm very thankful that my brother was so much younger than me. He had no idea what the hell he was doing. In fact, the split screen would confuse him. So I was a winner in my household until he, like, developed, like, very fine motor skills and became a teenager. And then I was like, oh, no. And now he plays competitive Overwatch at Texas Tech. So I did my time, and I brought my brother where he was by beating him repeatedly in Halo. That is exactly what happened. He did his time with me in Halo so that he could run and play competitive Overwatch.
Yeah, well, he's on Cloud Nine. We know who to thank. Yeah. Or he's on the Outlaws. We know who to thank.
Wow. Yeah. Sadly, he's a Hanzo.
So, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember the meme, but like the one like where like you put the blanket over the thing because we didn't have cardboard. But we definitely did that with one of my friends. Dimitri, if you're listening to this, I remember.
That was very direct.
This dude was screen look. Even when my dad got like his nice big TV, he would still screen look. I'm like, dude, like you have all this real estate. It's a very sore
subject. Did you ever cover the mirrors? We've had people in houses. You had to cover the mirrors. That is definitely like you got competitive around there.
So this is where I ask: did screen looking walk so that stream sniping could run?
Yes. Yeah.
People have always been terrible when put in multiplayer. Yeah, this is the takeaway.
We're going to get into that.
Yeah, that's the main thing. We were talking about screen sharing and stuff. I mean, how much... Did you ever trust anybody to play?
No,
I mean,
no.
Did you hold it against anybody to play?
So,
I guess the main thing was you make sure to, like, we're going to cover the screens and everything. You say, you know what? All out. We're just going to be screen watch. We're screen watch. We're all at level playing field.
So,
but if you don't, that's on you.
So I never thought to cover anything, but I also grew up like totally different in that like nobody that I was friends with had any gaming systems. Like everybody would come to my house to play the one thing that I had, which was like vastly years apart from when things came out. And so like I didn't like that was never really a thing because most of the time they're just learning how to play the game. Pretty much.
Oh, I felt like you should beat on a bunch of people that had no idea what they were doing.
Hey, it's called being competitive.
Is that what we call that?
No, I mean, but I mean, honestly, like, the same, like, I would say, like, the thing that is different, and one of the reasons why I like the I like co-op over everything, specifically in Halo, is when I had an Xbox, a lot of the games that we had, it was competitive. Like, most of them were fighters that we were playing. Or even before that, when we had the PlayStation, it was mostly just fighters. We'd play a whole bunch of Tekken. And so there wasn't really a communal goal other than to beat on the other person. But at the end of the day, one of the things that co-op in Halo did was when we were playing that, it was a team. And so I think that, like, honestly, I think Halo is actually my first co-op experience in general. And now I prefer playing co-op in everything vastly over playing it by myself. And it's just because it co-op introduces ways to help you in the game, but it also introduces new challenges. I mean, like, so...
Yeah, like screen looking.
Yes, that. That's fine.
I mean, co-op also introduces, like, this whole aspect of, like, is my teammate... good.
Yeah.
I feel very attacked. I feel very attacked by the comment that
it all makes sense now.
I might have operated you out in the middle of this one.
You start having like, yes, team dynamics, and you're like, oh man, I have to go hide on this corner again so they respond.
But we've all played MMOs together, so like
let's just play multiplayer.
There's a reason why Kate takes now and she's not the rogue. She runs off into the thing.
I was a rogue in Neverwinter, and that was the only time I was ever a rogue, and they never let me hear the end of it. Because I was also when he was a healer, and that poor man. Yeah. Oh no.
It's hard.
Kate, get out of the red was something I heard many, many times.
You rolled okay. Into the red.
Yeah, and to your point earlier about, you know, did you really trust anybody? Look, it's only cheating to get caught in. So, did I screen look? Who knows? No one will know.
The buzzer told me different.
So, kind of into the kind of gates, you know, a good thing that you can do is when you do have that co-op campaign, for me, that was my first co-op campaign with my dad. It was the first time that like, we sat down and like, we legitimately beat a very like hard game together. Which is great, and them continuing to do it, and I don't know if we don't have the co-op campaign that we do in Halo, I don't know if we get the co-op campaign that we get in things like Army of Two or...
No, we don't.
Gears of War. Not Gears of War 5. Okay, it's fine.
Salty about that robot. Three-person co-op campaign in Gears 5.
Just yeah, saying. She was the robot.
It's not
she didn't like it.
It's two plus a robot.
You were a great robot.
No comment.
But the game really changes when Halo introduces their online play to the franchise. Again, not the first to do it. Because Matt played, I guess, NBA
actually,
on the Dreamcast online.
Dreamcast, where you like just lagged the whole time.
I didn't have a Dreamcast, okay? Not my fault.
Well, sir, if you could learn how to burn CDs back in the day.
So again,
we don't advocate any of this. This was past selves.
I never said I was a qualified advice giver.
Yeah. Again, only cheating if you get caught. So Halo induces that online play, and really, really great things happen, but also probably things that aren't so great. So basically, after the success of the multiplayer aspects of Combat Evolved, which, again, only had a very small team working on it from 1997 to that 2001 release, Bungie basically dumps the majority of its resources into the multiplayer experience. And it really has, like, this good and bad things to it. So they basically had to cut part of the story out of Halo 2 altogether, which is why I feel very vindicated in learning this, because I thought the Halo 2 story wasn't as good as the first. It felt very short. But again, they're pumping all their resources into...
I also feel vindicated because I don't remember Halo 2. I remember what happened in 3. I remember the experience of 1. I forget 2, like, had a campaign.
Yeah. Did
2 happen? But why, though?
Yeah. It did. I was the arbiter, okay? It was player 2. It happened. It was real to me, damn it. So they basically put the resources into that, but we do get a really, really great multiplayer experience, which is...
Oh, no. I need to update my computer, y'all. I'm sorry.
What are you doing?
There we go. So, I don't update. It's going to brick it if I do.
Well, that's because you got a Mac.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it. You said that, not me. Yeah, find him after. So, I mean, this is a good thing that they kind of pumped that stuff into the multiplayer, but also kind of a bad thing, because then, like, everything in their mother kind of gets a multiplayer when probably doesn't need it. Like, did the new Tomb Raider games need a multiplayer?
No, very hard.
Probably not.
Very hard didn't, and I'm a completionist who likes to perfect my games, and I could not complete, and did not perfect that first reboot because of the damn multiplayer, because there weren't enough people on.
What's that was about Assassin's Creed? I had the first, like, 2 or 3 games, 4 games completed, and then they said, we're going to do multiplayer, and I was like, no, we're not. It does get better, but then we end up with, like, Dead Space.
Yeah, like, did Dead Space really need a multiplayer?
I am a huge Dead Space fan, and that didn't happen. I don't know what you're talking about.
Are you too busy playing the Mass Effect one?
I was, because that one was good. I will die on that hill. That was good.
Catcher at 7 for her Mass Effect.
Oh, yeah, we are doing a Mass Effect panel at 7 o'clock, guys.
No, you will be.
I will. Oh, yeah, not y'all, me.
You're famous. We are
not. That's not how it works.
So Halo 2 also introduces that playlist system that we're also familiar with, that really kind of automated that process to keep a steady flow of games at all time, and kind of a semi-layered skill ranking system on top, which also kind of like leads to like cheating and things like that, but that's way too much stuff to get into right now. But we also get Xbox Live, which for some of us, I mean, for me, was my first online experience, which, again, good and bad. Good, you have people who aren't just playing in their dorm rooms or in their mom's house looking at mirrors, but people from all around the world get to play with each other. And it's a wonderful experience. No bad things ever happen.
Then you aren't going to like anybody from around the world.
And then you sit in the lobby, and you just get opened up to this just awful toxicity in FPS gaming. And I don't know if it's Modern Warfare 2 or Halo, but they're definitely tied for my, like, worst experiences in lobbies.
So,
ever.
I will say Modern Warfare 2 was a worse experience. I will draw the hammer on that for me, at least. Modern Warfare 2 was the worst, but I think that was because with Halo, people were still figuring out how to use things.
That is,
so it wasn't as bad.
People didn't have a mic, probably.
Exactly.
I gotta buy a mic now?
Well, because in Modern Warfare 2, you have the music playing in the background,
yeah.
And then you have the toxic stuff also happening.
You're just dating yourself because you didn't play Modern Warfare 1 before Xbox had party chat.
They have always had that proximity chat, so like if you just kind of stay away from everybody, then you really don't have to deal with it too much. I guess I can see that.
It was my first
experience of just being like, why you never even met me? Like, why do you hate me so much?
Why are you so angry?
How do you know my mother? I don't get it.
This is how we do. And we were like, oh, this is why people buy Ventrilo.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, here on the PC,
yeah.
I get it now.
Or TeamSpeak.
Oh, I was going to say something. I totally forgot. It was a joke. It was real good. Please trust me.
It
probably wasn't. It's okay.
And we also, between this and Counter-Strike on the PC at this time, we get introduced to probably like one of the most disrespectful things and also one of the most fun things to do in games, period, teabagging.
Yep.
Kate told us we weren't allowed to say this.
I was really going to talk about this game.
We had an hour-long debate
as to whether or not that was valid to discuss at the Halo panel. And
you're the only person that debated.
Okay,
let's just keep
the positives. But obviously, the crowd proves that I was wrong. It's fine. I'll live with it.
Yeah.
I still do it myself. So, like, I guess I can't complain.
I'll take teabagging over, bad things about my mother being said in lobby chat. So I'll
That's
take
fair.
The teabagging.
That's fair.
Which is also, it also kind of happened by accident as well. Like, no one, like, knew you could do it, and then, like, this one guy did it, and it was like, hey, everybody on internet forums.
So I will take that over the last, like, what, 3 seconds that play when you die in Call of Duty, and it lets you... I will take that.
You
want
somebody screaming in the mic for 3 seconds?
No, I really, really
but
don't.
No, it was a weird thing how it took off, because obviously it was weird, because at first it was, like, kind of this huge thing. People always did it, and it was kind of, I guess, fine. I don't know if it was ever actually fine. But
It was never fine. It was accepted, apparently. It was
like,
never fine
to
who it happened
it,
to.
Fine. And then it just got to the extreme sense. I mean,
and essentially, like, it's just haunting at the
Correct.
End of the day.
It's the same
thing that we do when you spray paint after you kill somebody in Overwatch.
Yeah, game devs put haunting in games. That's for a reason.
Yes. Just don't start yelling in the mic.
Yeah. They didn't have
the
technology.
The first part's fine. The yelling's not.
Yeah, it all works out. So you have like the good and the bad. You know, we're all here listening in the world afar because of internet play, but also teabagging. So you know, you gotta take what you can get. We'll kind of move on from there to kind of get into some of the things related to its importance to Microsoft, because at the end of the day, this really is Microsoft's golden child when it comes to their money. Again, $5 billion in game sales. Even with, like, basically, like, in the late 2000s or early 2000s, Xbox gaming, or like the gaming aspect of Microsoft, isn't also doing very well. Like, they're losing money and they're only afloat because of their sales from Halo, essentially.
Because people forget that, like, Microsoft is US based. The other big two at this point are not.
Yeah, so, like, basically, we're just buying the Halo games and hoping it works out
Halo
while the rest of the world is playing PlayStation.
Microsoft into the gaming industry, not only that, but it gets the US into like the consoles of gaming. Because, like I said, at this point, PlayStation, Nintendo are not US based. People don't think about it, they may know it, but they're like, oh, wait, what do we do? No, the US at this point has really nothing that I can think of.
Well, and I think too, like, when you start thinking about it, and I know that, like, the constant gripe with Microsoft is that Microsoft doesn't have as much exclusives. Spoiler, I don't like exclusives. Let everybody play games. But at the end of the
day,
yes, thank you.
We don't want to talk about it. You can buy $600 other console. It's only $600.
I really want to play Spider-Man. I don't have $600. But I will say, at the end of the day, one of the cool things is, as much as Microsoft doesn't have exclusives, I don't have exclusives in tandem, or I guess meeting where
Sony
does. I like
how you're talking about this is an exclusive.
I'm going to finish. I'm getting to my point. It takes me a long time. I'm like Michael Scott. I forget sometimes.
You're just running with the sentence.
I am, and it will end up where you need it to eventually.
I hope so.
No, but the cool thing is, when you think about Microsoft, and we did a Gears of War episode before, Gears and Halo, as much as these are the two biggest pieces of Microsoft's originals IP, have carried so much. And I don't say that as like, oh, they need more. It's more like, look at the staying power of these games. Look at how much these games have adapted with us as we've grown, have adapted to new technology as that's grown, and why they're still here today, and why when Halo Infinite got announced at E3, we all cared. Well, most people cared. I really cared. I stood up and I was like, oh, hi, Master Chief's back. And then Matt was like, yes. So, like, I mean, we all care about these things, and I think that, like, to build a platform and to build a gaming top piece with really these Halo and Gears are honestly the two main things that I think of, it's really important because it's, like, it's two pillars that kind of hold it all up, and Halo starts that.
Yeah, and it kind of carries even to even out stuff that's not Halo, because as you see on the screen, they basically make their own virtual assistant. Whether it's good or not is a whole other story.
It was good. Nobody disliked Microsoft, though.
Fun fact, Microsoft's AI that runs Cortana is actually the base AI for Siri and all of the other voice recognition technology that is out there. Microsoft is very good at making product, not very good at marketing it.
Yeah, giving all their stuff away so people, other people can do it.
Software.
Oh, software. Okay, software.
Yeah, so Cortana's actually, if you, I don't even know how many people know Cortana's on their computers because they just turn it off right away.
But, I know it because I accidentally press the button all the time.
But Cortana's actually voiced by Jen Taylor, who was the voice of Cortana in the series. And I guess some cool-ish facts about Cortana, that the number of people with access to Cortana was 800 million in 2019, and the number of questions asked since launch has been 18 billion. What questions are y'all asking y'all's Cortana? Because
I don't want to know.
I asked Google a bunch of questions, even Alexa. But
I will say, this for me as a gamer was one of the moments where, like, integrating a piece of, like, gaming culture into a mainstream product is actually huge. And I know everybody's in this room because they're gamers, and I know we've seen, like, a giant uptick in our hobbies, our love, our passions being brought into the mainstream. But for me, I remember the first time I found out that AI was going to be called Cortana and just, like, completely losing it. Because it was exciting. It was small, but at the same time, it was huge, especially for people who ultimately got treated a little crappy for liking video games, and now it's starting to be a huge piece. Like, people who don't even know who Cortana is have Cortana in their home, and they may not know the significance, but, like, if you played Halo, you do. And you know the significance as to why having an AI named Cortana is actually really freaking cool and the only name they could have gone with.
I loved it. And the only thing I put, like, the voice recognition so we could actually hear Cortana's voice. Obviously, yeah. It wasn't very good at this time. It got better. Yeah. But, I was excited. I was like, we got something. I would have been disappointed that it wasn't Cortana for what she meant to this franchise and everything else and all the stuff we get to. I mean, for a while, we don't even know what she looks like. She just a robot or whatever for a while.
Is this where I ask, can I do a Cortana Matters What Why Though episode?
I mean, you could.
The audience says yes, therefore it is decided.
So I think we have time for like one more but why though before we kind of wrap up stuff. But I think the community aspect is really important to kind of talk about, mainly because we are here at PAX 2020 doing this in a room full of people who like Halo. So outside of all the toxic stuff and the teabagging and the cheating and the screen looking, Halo really does some really cool things to get the community involved, outside of just playing the campaign or playing online with friends or playing Citizen League with friends. So introducing things like custom games, allowing players to design their own modes, the Forge, letting you draw and build new maps. I tried to build the Master Chief, but I just wasn't good enough. Doing the save films and the Halo waypoint, giving people abilities to make their own movies, and then, you know, Red versus Blue, obviously,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
We're Austin based, so obviously,
it's going on like year 18. Season 18.
Yeah.
And
so
it's a video game that people just cut up.
Yeah, I mean, it was so big that, like, far from, like, them slapping down a takedown notice, Bungie actually incorporated Red versus Blue into their official ads and their announcements and their community celebrations.
Oh!
There it is.
We need to cover that on the revisit.
We'll get there. let's just see if Halo Infinite is pushed back or not. And this might not have been unusual for PCs at this time because you're having videos being made and things like that. But for the console, like, we don't have this yet, unless you did this on your Dreamcast, maybe.
Did I did a lot on my Dreamcast.
did you make Machinima on your Dreamcast?
I just made the games.
So like that piece is super, super important because Bungie really, really, I mean, they're gamers who made games and really wanted to incorporate the community in their games. And, you know, even them going to Microsoft was kind of like, you know, oh, we're selling now because we want to be like the gamer in, like the gamers who make the games kind of thing. But they use that power to create really cool things that gives us things like Red vs. Blue, that gives us the ability to have Halo Infinite in 2020 when we started from an RTS in 1997. Right,
would Nintendo ever do this?
No, of course not.
No.
Has anyone ever tried to get anything from Nintendo before?
I would love that.
I would love that, and it would be the biggest thing ever.
Yes.
Because
could you imagine Isabelle beating up Master Chief, though? Like, I would love to see it.
Wait, that'd actually be great.
It would be real great.
Instead of Master Chief, what if we get Cortana?
I'd be down. Yeah.
Ooh, both. Why not both? One of my favorites.
Hey, you only get one character.
Come on, we're making progress.
I will say, to the community piece, I think that there's something really beautiful, and it speaks to Halo, it speaks to every other multiplayer game, every other co-op game. There is a beauty in gaming when you get to connect to other people. And I know not everybody likes co-op and multiplayer, and that's fine. Like, play as you want to play. But I think getting to work with somebody towards a common goal and getting to kind of talk to them in a different way, understand them in a different way. Nice. Like, I think at the end of the day, when we look at the strength of these games, of any game, it's the community behind it that drives it. And I think Microsoft embracing that community is one of the reasons why it, regardless of console sales and things, like, I do think that there is a dedicated base that is there, and we do communicate in a different way. And I think a lot of that is specifically because of how the online play happens, which is a very different experience than, you know, single player exclusives. They both deserve respect, but I think for me, community is the piece that matters the most, in my gaming at least.
So we got about 10 minutes left, so I just want to run us through some quick fun facts, and then we'll do our kind of final thoughts, our kind of our final wrap up.
I'm just here for the fun facts.
Because again, I know that, you know, we didn't really touch too much on the story. Again, we don't have enough time to touch on the story because there's a lot.
We didn't even touch on the weapons, sir.
There's a lot. I mean, that's
disappointing.
Which team are you on?
I don't know.
Are you on here?
I'm just figuring out.
He's making the notes for the revisit episode. Yeah. That's all this is.
Remember when you said you didn't like Mac? Remember that part? Yeah. Remember that for later, please.
Yeah, but he never made it to Mac.
So we talked a little bit earlier about the possible names. Some I didn't say. So the possible names for Halo could have been Covenant, the Santa Machine, the Crystal Palace, Hard Vacuum, Star Maker, and Star Shield. All terrible.
Okay, Star Shield is actually kind of a cool name. I'm just going to say.
That's terrible.
That's a terrible name. You're on the Star Shield.
Yeah, that sounds dope. I'm sorry. Nah, I want to be on the Star Shield. Do you not want to be on the Star Shield? If someone said, sir, would you like to be on the Star Shield? Did you say no or would you say yes?
I would say where's the Halo at? And this also could have gone kind of our multiplayer thing, but the phrase "new 2" was more or less inspired from Halo 2. I know a lot of us think it's from Call of Duty.
It's kind of like
kind of the.
Have
you ever just looked up at the beginning of a match in Call of Duty and you're like, it's raining?
And then it would be, you know, used in Call of Duty and Battlefield later on. Again, back to Cortana. She's going to have her own, but why though? It's probably going to be the entire episode for the revisit, it seems like. The voice of Cortana also does Princess Peach, Toad, Toadette, and Zoe from Left 4 Dead.
So all we're doing is connecting the dots to Smash, right?
Yeah, basically that's what we're doing. Cortana, the original design of Cortana, because it has other influences later, but the original design of Cortana was actually based on Nefertiti, Since 2001, more than 11 million copies of books, strategy guides, and comics have been sold. I know we don't know what strategy guides are anymore.
I know strategy guides. I hold them dear.
Do you mean the YouTube, sir?
No.
The YouTube.
No.
I need the 12-year-old kid to show me how to beat the level sometimes. It's fine.
No. I'm a strategy guide.
And some strategy guides were great. They were beautiful.
They were
hardback.
Price,
yes,
were
I see thumbs up. Yes.
Yeah, I don't got time to read, man.
Oh, that is perfect.
We used to get a map. Now I'm making a map. Now I have to look at a
Now you just make your own Excel spreadsheet.
What?
This is true. He does do that.
It's
something
works.
Else.
But yeah, he's on a map.
So from 2004 to 2010, before the great close down of the original Xbox Live lobbies, you had more than 20 billion online games played, which was equivalent to 235,000 years or 2 billion hours of playtime from 2004 to 2007.
Y'all need to go outside. Oh,
yeah.
No.
Jesus.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of hours. So again, we obviously aren't able to cover everything, and this will also make you really excited for the recap because all this stuff, or the, you know, the revisit when Halo Infinite does come out, for us to talk more about, you know, Master Chief itself as a character, and Master Chief is a dad, even though we've only seen his eyes.
I've only seen the Mandalorian's, like, little bit of a wrist, and then I saw his face in the last episode. He's still a daddy.
He's still a daddy?
He's also literally and figuratively a daddy.
That, I mean, can't argue there. You know, Cortana, you know, the story being great, and hopefully seeing where Halo Infinite is at in terms of its production and kind of, like, what we're excited about for that. But do you have any final thoughts before we kind of...
Well, I guess, like, the one question you want to ask, I mean, obviously we talked about it. We're excited. I guess, what are you most excited about for Halo Infinite? Because Kate obviously said she stood up and yelled. Did you stood up and yell?
I think that I've been hurt too much. I've been hurt before. And I played Halo. I used to play Halo when I was a kid before the multiplayer. But when I come back to it, and as I'm doing these notes, and I'm like, I'm here. I just really enjoy the co-op experience of it. So I think, like, the big thing for me is just really hoping for a pretty decent storyline for us to get something. Because when the game started, like, that's what people played, and I hope they kind of get back to that. Because the story, the last few games has been okay, but you know, the Halo 1 story. You may forget Halo 2 story, but you remember Halo 1 story. You remember the library, Matt. You remember the flood.
You know who also I remember? I remember Master Chief. And that's the only reason I'm excited, because we have other games, and to be honest, I haven't played the last few Halo games, and to be honest, didn't really care. Anybody that listened to Girls of War episode, when you define your franchise by one character, that's who I expect to play with.
You leave that random guy I played as in Judgment alone that I can't remember his name to.
Exactly.
He also matters.
When I play Halo, I want to play as Master Chief. When I play Gears, I want to play as Marcus Fenix. When I play Tomb Raider, I want to play as Lara Croft.
Laura.
We'll always be. But that's just how I define these franchises. And
yeah.
Obviously, we've seen the marketing. We have three Master Chiefs pretty much on this picture right here. That's who I want to play with. And that's who we're getting. Or at least I hope that's who we're getting. Or we're just being bamboozled. But,
real bad. What about you, Kate?
I'm excited because, I mean, I was kind of in your camp of like, oh, like, I'm going to be hesitant or whatever. But then I ended up reviewing the new Call of Duty for the site. And that campaign reminded me that when studios remember what made a franchise great and go back to it, they can embrace it and push it further. And so for me, I have a really big trust in what 343 is going to be able to do, only because I haven't been let down by the most recent revisits to franchises and revisits to kind of the roots of where they started. So I'm really
excited.
You
just complained about a robot for 10 minutes.
That wasn't a revisit. That was a continuation of the story. And Marcus Fenix. I am very salty about that. So if you want to talk to me after, I'll talk with you all day. But yes, no, I think when it comes to revisiting franchises that had gone away from things and they're coming back to things that people loved about them, I trust that. I do definitely trust they're going to be able to do it because we haven't seen stuff kind of let me down before. Nope. It let me down before, but not right now. In this current time where games are meeting. I'm excited. I'm just going to stop talking.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that's a perfect way to wrap us up and get us out of here.
Yeah. So click the thingy. Click it again.
No, do not.
Oh, to the scans. There we go. We were going to have a Master Chiefs live. We talk a lot. But we will be doing a revisit episode closer to when Halo Infinite comes out. Thank you all for staying with us, talking with us. We'll be around after if you want to talk to us one-on-one. You can scan that code and get all of our links to all of the things, to the podcast, to our website.
It's a QR code.
It is a QR code. We had a debate as to whether or not to include it, and Matt was right. I was wrong. It's fine. It's Kate wanting to have her way.
Conversation. Me and Adrian, like, we're doing this.
Anyway, follow us at Why Though PC on every single piece of social media there is. We interact a whole bunch. We want to talk a lot more with everybody. Get involved. And yeah, thank you all for coming. Seriously.
Yes, thank you.
And that you're celebrating our third anniversary with us.
So what got cut out is the fact that in 2017, our podcast started. And we were just recording in the middle of the hallway at PAX South. And then 2020 came and here we are. So if you showed up, if you wanted to show up, or if you've just been listening to us all along, or you just started listening to us today, thank you for all of your support. We've succeeded more than we could have ever thought. And we're looking forward to a whole bunch more live shows and another 3 years.